Greetings, horror fans, and welcome to episode 236 of Frightmares. I'm your host, Austin Proctor, and joining me today, a frequent guest, I think this is like your third time on the show, fourth time this year. We've done a lot. This is Ms. Aide Santiago. How are you doing today?
I'm well, Austin. How are you?
Oh, you know, hanging in there. This kid is testing all of my patience, but, you know, at least she's super cute, so she's got that going for her. But
Is this your first Christmas with her or your second?
No, first Christmas. She will be okay. 6 months or 5 months during Christmas. So she's on, like, I can't believe she's already that old. She's getting so big. And she told me she would stop growing and she's not living up to what she said. So it's very frustrating.
I can't believe it's been 5 months. I feel like
I feel like we just came home. I know. So. Well, I know you've had a day today, but we're here talking about one of our favorites, Christmas Bloody Christmas. This was one that was on, like, I'm pretty sure this was in, like, your top 10 of all Christmas movies ever, right?
It was, yeah. And it was also in my top 10 for last year because we made lists last year. Oh, which, by the way, that's what we needed to do. Thank you for reminding me because we're like, what's our next episode supposed to be? And I'm like, I forget.
Aren't you supposed to do like a top of the year, right?
Yeah, we got to talk about our top 10. We'll probably try and get you in on there if you want to.
Yeah, yeah. I've got my list ready to go.
I already have my list. I'm excited for it. So
yeah, hey.
This was part of my list for last year. And honestly, of course, you know, we talked about this before. I was the only one who liked it.
Yeah.
Out of the whole group. So.
And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it last year, but for some reason I only gave it like a 3, and I watched it again, you know, today, and I was like, okay, I don't know, I must have been drunk or high or something, because I don't know why my rating was so low. That movie's a fucking blast, and that's going to be like a yearly watch for me, like every fucking year, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for sure.
It is a good time. And this one's streaming on Shudder too. I think it's a Shudder. If it's not a Shudder exclusive, it's a Shudder original. So it's like out there. You don't have to scour the internet for it. It's on Shudder and it's on AMC Plus. Because I think AMC owns Shudder, if I'm not mistaken. So I went ahead and bought the Blu-ray though from last year, and I'm glad I did because I love this movie. And it's going to be a lot of fun to talk about. Is there anything you've seen that's new? We'll get to that in 2 seconds because that's actually first on my list here for horror news because there's a lot of good new shit coming to Shudder. Speaking of Shudder, as of right now, because what is today, the 13th? Yeah, 13th. You can stream right now some new shit on Shudder. You can stream It's a Wonderful Knife, The Children from 1980, which I thought that was, there's a movie I know called The Children, but it's from like the 2000s. Do you know The Children from the 80s?
Yes. So I actually was just watching, I watch Into the Darkness a lot on Shudder. I just leave it on and listen to it when I'm doing shit around the house. And they talk about it. And actually, I want to say, what's her name from, she's in a shit ton of things, but you know her. She's the black girl from Death Proof
with
Rosario Dawson, the one with the curly hair.
Yeah.
I forget her name. She talks about it, which I find hilarious because I'm like, why would she like this movie? But like, she talked about how much she loves the movie and all the, because the kids, it's the movie where the kids, like the bus driver goes through like a cloud of whatever and like the kids change into something, right?
Yeah, it goes through like a nuclear power plant and they change into like murderous atomic zombies or some shit.
Yeah, like they hug the parents and the parents like go up in flames or something.
Yeah.
So I have not seen it. I want to watch it, but I don't know if it's streaming. Is it streaming anywhere?
It's on Shudder. Yeah. On December 1st, it went to Shudder. Yeah, but I know there's a movie called The Children, and it's from 2008, and it's on a Christmas vacation. The terrifying fight for survival, you know, begins as the children start to like turn on their parents, and it's a very bleak, like, kids against parents movie. So I was confusing it for that. I didn't even know that there was a movie from the 80s called The Children. And it kind of seems like the 2008 might be some sort of a remake in a, like a loose terms, but I definitely want to check out The Children from 1980 because that sounds wicked. I mean, an 80s movie about atomic zombies, that sounds pretty fucking awesome. So You can stream, you can stream that. You can stream the 2006 Black Christmas, P2, Night of the Comet, To All Good Night, which is another 1980 movie, The Sacrifice Game, Wendigo, Devil's Pass, I Trap the Devil, Bay of Blood, Barren Blood, Black Sunday, Kill Baby Kill, Lisa and the Devil, and The Evil Eye. Those are all new coming to Shudder that are already there. And the only other one that will be there on the 18th is Ginger Dead Man, sorry. And then you guys did a whole full moon month, which that was honestly a blast, even though the movies were kind of hit or miss. But that was so much fun. And then the last but not least, we have Barbarians from 2021 on December 25th. But I definitely want to talk about, since I mentioned it, It's a Wonderful Knife, because that is a new Christmas horror movie for this year. And we were all excited for it. I know we were all like pretty stoked. It's got Justin Long in it.
Joe McHale. Catherine Isabel's in it.
Yeah. She still looks great, by the way. Oh my God. But yeah, we were all excited for it. And it's just like, for me, it just fell short in almost every way imaginable. I mean, I liked the premise. I just didn't feel like they executed it very well. The cinematography and score were solid, but like, that's not going to be able to save a movie for me. The performances were believable enough, but I don't know. Like, what do you think was just missing from that movie for making it something that should have been good?
It was just too, I don't know if it was too commercial or too, well, first of all, the CGI blood was terrible. So much of the gore
Absolutely.
Was CGI.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of stupid. And like, I didn't care enough about any of the characters. Like,
yep.
I didn't care. Like, I didn't care about, I just thought it was just kind of, it was just too much going on. Like, they should have just focused on like, you know, one thing. I don't know. Justin Long and Catherine Isabel did fine in the movie. I think that their performances were good and they actually were very entertaining, but everyone else kind of sucked for me. So even Joe McHale.
Yeah, I'm with you. That was my problem. I was like, there's so many people in this movie and I don't care about any single person in this movie. And if you don't care about anybody, well, then it's going to kind of hard to be relate to anyone or, you know, like really care what happens to them. So, but I will say Justin Long's veneers that he had and the blue eyes, that shit will haunt my nightmares forever. Cause he looked so off putting and I don't know if that was like intentional, but man, those veneers really fucked me up. I was not a fan of those, but he did a great job. Like, he carried the movie for sure.
Oh, he sure did. Yeah. And, you know, because he's like, you know, I think they're trying to emulate like a Republican politician type deal with him.
Definitely.
Which is why he looked that way. You know, very Aryan and whatever. But my, I don't know. None of the care. And all the kids were just so unattractive. Not one of those kids was good looking. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
You got all these kids in this movie. And why is like even the couple, the boyfriend cheating on the girl, he was ugly. The girl was ugly. But I know this is terrible. I shouldn't be talking about kids this way. But like, they're young. Why do they all look like old, grody, like
right,
just nasty people? Like, I don't understand. Like, why? And then of course, like at the end, of course, when everybody was like under his trance, like
that was the weird part for me. I didn't feel like there was enough connection to the real world and then the alternate universe. I mean, it did have a nice happy ending, which was cool once she came back to her own timeline. But, you know, they reveal the killer like not that far into the movie. So you're like, oh, okay, that's the killer. And then the killer changes in the alternate universe. And I'm just like, oh, there's not enough connecting here for me to enjoy this movie. I think I gave it like a 2.5 because I felt like gracious giving it like a 2.5 because I was like, it was okay. I mean, and there was some solid kills, you know, that didn't have CG blood. Like, there was actually some pretty inventive, fun kills, but I was
when
just
they
like
killed the mother mm-hmm. mother when she died, but just everything was just
so
stupid.
Weird. So weird. That's funny that you mentioned all the kids being kind of unattractive too, because now that you say that, I'm looking back on all of them and they either had like a weird haircut or just a weird face. So I didn't even realize that until you pointed
out. I'm like, what is this? And I, you know, because I know we're from an older generation, right? So this is obviously very Gen Z, but like, like something redeeming of these kids. Like, they, like, not only are they all horrible people, but not one of them is attractive. And I'm just like, okay, I'm over it.
Yeah. You guys have no redeeming qualities. I don't care what happens to you. Oh my God.
Exactly. I know. Take all the damn kids for all I care. And then I thought too that like when she came back, I was like, at least I thought maybe she'd come back before her best friend was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
At the very least, so that like maybe she could save the day a little bit. Doesn't like no, her best friend was still murdered.
Yep.
The father was still murdered, or the grandfather was still murdered. Like all of these things still happen, and I'm just like, okay, that's kind of shitty. Like. Like, what is she? Oh, but she found her lesbian lover, and now all of a sudden she's a lesbian, and her brother's gay, and everybody. I'm like, what is happening? Like,
oh, that's right. Yeah.
Oh, like, where did this come from? Like, I never saw, like, I was like, okay, there's this, like, a good, you know, like, a good, solid, like, girl power movie. Like, yeah. Okay, that would have been great. But literally, and then everybody in the movie was gay. So I'm like, because Catherine Isabel, she was gay. The brother's gay. She's gay. Yeah. And I'm like, what?
But what happened?
Like, which, you know, I don't mind, but no. I'm like, where, I didn't see that coming. Like, it just was out of left field. It kind of felt forced.
Especially for her character, because she had a boyfriend that she was cheating on. Yeah, and then and I mean, like, it was the nerdy girl or whatever that she was getting with. And I kind of hoped, I was like, man, I really hope they get together. But at the same time, I was like, that wouldn't make sense, though, because, like, it's not really... you know, defined if she's gay, straight, or bi, or whatever. And then, yeah, at the end, she's just like, oh, yeah, I'm gay now. I'm like, I mean, all right, more power to you. That's great. But yeah. it did come out of left field, that's for sure.
Yeah, I just, like, it didn't set it up. Like, if she was already, like, it would have been, you know, obviously more believable for me. But I'm just right. Like, okay, so you just kind of, like, your boyfriend dumped you, and you're just, like, bi curious, and you're just, you know, it just seemed like one of those things. Okay, well, now I have to like get with this chick. She's the only person listening to me, right?
Like, that's all it took was one heartbreak to turn her gay. It was like, I'm done with men. I'm done.
I know. I don't want to be canceled for saying this. I obviously am not homophobic.
No.
Most of the men in my life are gay, and you know, obviously, I'm always the gays. So you know. Whatever, but I call them the gays because they're all, you know, very flamboyant gay men, so it's not like, you know, whatever.
But those, like, gays.
You know, well, ever since Jennifer Coolidge and had her moment in the show, of The White Lotus.
Yeah.
I'm basically Jennifer Coolidge, so
oh,
there you go.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I keep seeing her on TikTok in this commercial, and I'm just like, God, she's, I love Jennifer Coolidge.
She's the best.
I think we all do.
She would have been better if it had starred Jennifer Coolidge in It's a Wonderful Life, and she had to go back in an alternate universe.
Yes.
That would have been the movie of Christmas.
I think that would have saved everything and made it so much more enjoyable if it was Coolidge, yeah. So another new, we've gotten a lot of holiday horror for this year. Now I haven't seen this one yet. But I know you guys just did an episode on it. That'll be out the same day this airs, and that's The Sacrifice Game.
Yes.
Was that a better one than It's a Wonderful Knife?
Oh yeah. Okay. 1,000 times better.
Okay.
However, and I'm really glad that you mentioned Sacrifice Game. We literally just recorded on it on Monday. Mm-hmm. So it'll be out. Whatever, it'll be out the same time this one comes out. And like Mikey keeps calling him Aladdin. So one of the main killers in the film plays Aladdin in the live action.
No shit, for real?
Version. Yes, no, he's not being racist. He does play Aladdin, but he's forgetting his name. So the whole time we're calling him Aladdin. Mina Massoud is in it. He does pretty great. The whole movie, have you seen it yet?
I watched like the first 5 minutes just to get a feel for it, and then I was going to watch it tonight. But it's set in the 70s, right?
Yes.
Yes.
I think it's just so strong that it's set. When you set a film back in the day, I think it just raises the stakes a little more, because now it's like, oh, I'm just going to my smartphone and track, you know, they can track me and it's over. Like the battle's over. Like, you know, that's such a cop out.
Yeah.
So I really like that premise for The Sacrifice Game. I mean, you'll have to watch the rest of it and tell me what you think. Okay. I think 90% of the movie is great, and 10% of it, I don't know what happened, but you know, you'll have to tell me your opinion. But definitely I would prefer that one over The Sacrifice Game. Over It's a Wonderful Knife.
Mm-hmm.
But of all of the Shudder Christmas movies, I would probably say The Christmas Bloody Christmas, hands down, from start to finish, is 1,000 million times better than both of them.
Oh man, okay.
Because you know, The Sacrifice Game was really good until it's not. So you're going to have to tell me what you think.
So did it kind of, is it one of those ones that kind of falls off in the end? Is that, was that kind of what happened?
Yeah. Once it gets to the climax and then it just kind of, but you'll have to, you watch it and you tell me what you think, because you know, you may enjoy the premise.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the first, like I said, 5 minutes, and it starts off with like two stabbings and it's like the sacrifice game. And I was like, okay. I was like, I'm going to come back to this. Yeah. I was like, I'm going to come back to this because that's a killer start right there.
One of my favorite intros in a long time in a horror film. Like, yeah, they're just like,
they just knock on the door, come in, stab, stab, stab. I was like, whoa. Okay. All right. Slow down here. Got to catch up. Yeah. So yeah, that's another one for this year. And Barbarians is that's not new for this year, but it's from 2021 and it sounds fun. I think it's like some home invasion type movie that takes place on like Christmas Eve or Christmas Day. And even I Trap the Devil is set around Christmas, To All Good Night, which I've never seen, but it's from 1980. So that sounds like it would be a lot of fun.
I started it. Yeah, okay.
It's okay. All right.
But I didn't finish it. Maybe if I get into it a little bit longer, who knows?
See. Yeah. And then Night of the Comet's kind of more of like a New Year's Eve movie, but it does take place around Christmas. So a lot of good stuff on Shudder if you want to go stream that. Like I said, most of these besides The Ginger Dead Man and Barbarians will already be on streaming by the time this releases. So definitely a good lineup from Shudder this year. They are really killing it, even with, you know, just like brand new releases too for this year. They've been doing a great job. So I'm super excited to check out some of these movies, and hopefully they work for me. Going down here on the list, we have some more info on Welcome to Derry, which is cool. Unfortunately, it has got pushed back to 2025. So that's fun. But they, Max just did like this new promo reel, and it contained like a first look of what's to come in Welcome to Derry. It's only a brief bit of footage, and if you go to Fangoria and find this article, you can skip to the 1:35 mark in the promo video, and it looks like it's going to be titled Welcome to Derry from the World of It, which is a fucking doozy of a title. I mean, I don't really care about that. What's important is that we're getting a whole It series, presumably the one that will dig further into the mythology, establishing King's original novel. You know, in other words, don't be surprised if we end up learning the history of the Black Spot or seeing more Pennywise's earliest time on Earth, which I'm wondering, like, it's also supposed to be set in the 60s too. So I think that, you know, that's 20 years prior to It, because I think It was like 84 was the original. And then It Chapter 2 was like the 2000s. So that's 20 years prior. Now, you know, they set up in It Chapter 2 that her father joined the circus and it was clearly Pennywise. So I'm wondering if we're going to get something like, oh, we get like an origin of Pennywise. Like, was he a human being at one point, or has he always just been this entity from space? I don't know. I don't know what I want from this, but I just hope they do it. I just hope they do it well. Yeah. That's all I care about. I don't know. Is there anything that you'd like to see from this?
I mean, I think it's interesting that they're doing it in the 60s, because when the book is set, like when the kids, they're 60s. And then I think the 80s is when they're adults.
I'm pretty sure in the original novel, I'm pretty sure it was 60s and 80s. Yeah.
80s or early 90s or whatever. I don't know. But I'm over Pennywise.
Okay.
I'm over Pennywise. I think he's so played. I love Andy Muschietti's It Chapter 1 and 2. And I love the fact that, you know, they brought, and I was Pennywise for Halloween a few years ago. So nice. I don't know why it is I'm over. I think it was just, for me, it was easier because then I could just put Dan in a raincoat and bloody up his arm, and he was Georgie, and it was just really easy costume for me to get going for him. Yeah. I'm over it. I don't care anymore. Like because now he's so mainstream, he's so commercial, because those movies just blew him up. Right. And, you know, obviously, Skarsgård does a great job of playing him. Which one? Bill. I was like, why can't I think?
Yes, Bill.
Because I like the other one, but you know, he does an amazing job playing him. But there's something, I'm over the CGI look of him. Like, I, you know, it's too cartoony for me. I don't think he's that scary.
Okay.
I don't know what it is. The movie itself is scary, but Pennywise, whatever. I don't give a fuck. I just don't care anymore. I don't know what it is. I'm a horrible person. So like to draw it out and a whole series, like who fucking cares? I love the fact that all of Stephen King's books like show up. They're all the places are around Maine and Derry shows up a lot and all those little areas. Like it should just be like the whole encompass the whole area and let's see what new creepy things we can get out of it.
Yes.
You know, kind of thing.
That's exactly what I wanted. I wanted it to do a little bit on Pennywise and it, but there is so much in the Derry, Maine area that, you know, his books are set in. So it's like, why not do like kind of an anthology thing where we take a little bit from here, a little bit from there, and kind of just mash it all up into one story. Like kids experiencing multiple things in Derry. Like that would be cool. So, you know, to get something that's just so, and it's not like, I would almost rather, if we're going to do it again, I would rather just do a prequel movie and call it a day. But, you know, a mini series, 4, 6, 8 episodes, that's a lot of time to fill for one particular, you know, and I assume they're going to be like 40, 45 minutes. So, you know, you've got 6, 7 hours to fill. It just seems like a lot.
And who's involved? Is it Mike Flanagan doing this?
No, it's Andy and Barbara Muschietti. So they're writing and I believe directing it. So at least it's staying in the family. So, I mean, obviously I know that they would only do this if they had material. So like I've got hope for it because it's the same people. It's just like, really, is it like, is this necessary? So they're going to have to really pull some stops out to make this thing, you know, interesting from beginning to end is what I'm getting at. So I guess we shall. And we got to wait till 2025 now. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, that whatever. So I'm not even like at this point. It'll come out when it comes out, I guess, because
I'll have forgotten about it by the time it comes out, honestly.
I know.
Whatever. So we've got Welcome to Derry stars Taylor Page, Jovan Adepo, Chris Chalk, James Remar, Madeline Stowe, and Steven Ryder. No word yet on who might be playing Pennywise in this series, but we're guessing that Max will be keeping that info under lock and key for as long as possible. I mean, if it's not Bill Skarsgård, I don't know. I'm not saying there's not someone else capable of playing Pennywise, but he's just done such a good job at it. It would be like, you know, it's like the Joker, you know, you're going to have to bring either something different to the table or you're going to have to try to outdo him. And those are big shoes to fill, literally. I mean, he's got clown shoes. So those are fucking huge shoes to fill. Keep you updated on that if they keep, you know, sending out updates, but that's another year. It's almost, well, no, geez, one. That's like almost 2 years away at this point. So fuck's sake. My God. My God.
We'll see, I guess.
We shall see. Yeah. Up next here, we've got some interesting news, which as a Saw fan, I am excited for, but I'm also not excited at the same time because we're getting Saw 11 confirmed for next year, 9/27/2024. It seems that Jigsaw is not done with his Twisted Games yet. Lionsgate has confirmed that Saw 11 is officially in the works, and it's going to be arriving, like I said, September 27, 2024. Nothing in the way of specifics, not even who's writing, not even who's in it, not even what's going on. Just that the games are going to continue. Will Tobin Bell return for Kramer? Or John Kramer, is it going to take place after the events of Jigsaw? Is it going to be another one where they're shoehorning it in between, you know, like 3 and 4? Who fucking knows? I have no idea. We all know that Saw X was a massive hit this year. I mean, the 10th entry in the long-running franchise made over $107 million, which makes it the highest-grossing one since Saw 3D back in 2010. So it obviously outdid Spiral and Jigsaw. So that's probably why they're making another one. I mean, I don't know. I love this franchise, and I'm a diehard fan. I always have been a diehard fan, but I just feel like, Tobin Bell is getting older. He's not getting any younger. They put Amanda in that god-fuck-awful wig. Oh, my God. And I know why they did it, because her hair was weird in that time, but, man, they could have done something better. I swear they could have done anything better. So it's like, and, you know, Kevin Grudert might come back to direct it. He's been editing the Saw movies since Saw 1. He edited 1, 2, 3, and 4, and 5, and then directed 6 and 7, I believe. So I don't know how I feel about this. Obviously, if they're doing another one, they have something in mind. I mean, like, you've seen Saw X, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously, I want to know what happened with Cecilia. I mean, I kind of hope they pick up the same story and continue on, because, like, they do kind of leave something up in the air. So I would like to see what happened to Cecilia. Does she try to get revenge on John? What goes on in that situation? But at this point, I just don't feel this is necessary. I mean, even Saw X, for me, I was like, ugh, I don't know about this. And then I ended up, you know, being like, whoa, okay, that was actually really good. So Saw 11... thoughts, feelings, I don't know, predictions, what do you got?
I think that, honestly, they need to just end Kramer's story and do what they did with Spiral, because I thought Spiral was great.
Yeah.
Saw 10 was fine. Yeah. I really liked the traps. Crazy, but I just don't care. Like, Amanda annoys the fuck out of me. I've never liked Amanda. Never liked Amanda. Especially like in part two, she was so weird. And, you know, of course, that was the haircut of the time. Because remember, this came out, what, in like 2007, 2008? Saw 2 came out.
Saw 2 was 2006 or 2007, yeah.
Yeah, that was the style. So, like, you know, why they couldn't get a wig to emulate that in 2023 with all the technology we have and the budget. I mean, they had a good budget for it, but yeah. They were like, well, fuck the wig.
Oh, my God, it was so bad.
Or they could have just left her hair longer, and then maybe she gets it hacked off there, and that's why she's got the fucked up haircut in Saw 2.
Yeah. Like,
they could have been a little bit more to not make this poor woman, because Shawnee Smith she looked great up until, like, I don't know what she did. She put too many fillers in her face, because she always looked amazing.
Yeah.
Like, she aged very well since The Blob. Like, she still looked the same.
I think they de-aged her a bit, though, as well. I think they tried to make her younger, because I've seen her. I've seen her at conventions. She still looks pretty damn good. So I think they de-aged her to try to make her look younger. And I'm like, they didn't do that to fucking Kramer. He's old as shit.
And they're like, well, he's cancer. So I'm sure that was their, like, you know, their reasoning for that. But at the end of the day, I don't know. I love the Saw franchise. Like, that was, like, the thing is, remember every year back in the day, we'd go every Halloween and watch it.
Yep.
And then it just fell off the rails. Like, Jigsaw is not a good movie. Jigsaw is not a good movie.
It's not great. No.
No. I mean, the guy who replaces him, he's a terrible actor. Like, it's just, the whole thing fell flat for me. And so Saw 10, it's fine.
It's fine. Yeah.
The best part of the movie was the villain. Like, she was amazing.
Yeah. And it's funny because, like, you hate her, but, like, you also, I hated her, but I'm like, man, she is, like, she's
so good.
So good. Oh. Like, I hate her, but, man, she was such a great villain. Because, I mean, typically, you know, like, John Kramer's kind of the villain, and he's punishing people for doing bad things. Usually there's not, like, a villain. I mean, the only other villain I can think in a Saw movie was the big hulking guy from Xavier. He was kind of a villain in Saw 2. But, like, there's really not usually a villain. It's people trying to work together to get out of these traps. But, yeah, they added that layer in of, like, this crazy fucking lady who was amazing. Her performance was so solid. So I would love to see what they would do. Maybe just pick up the story. But yeah, I think Kramer needs to just end his timeline, because he's getting older. He's not going to be around, I mean, for much. I mean, I think he's in his 80s. So, you know, like, he's got limited time left to do these movies. So end his storyline, and then, yeah, do something like Spiral again, where you just kind of, it's a copycat killer, or, you know, even do a Spiral 2 or something. I don't know. But yeah, as a diehard Saw fan, I'm like, all right, I think we're getting to be, like, enough is enough. But it's Hollywood and they're making money, so they're going to keep pumping out movies. So
this one was so successful. I'm not shocked that they're going to continue it. I'm really not shocked.
I'm just surprised that it's so quick. I mean, it's, you know, that's how they were back in the day. It was every year. I just didn't expect to get one a year later. So yeah, that's pretty crazy. The only other thing I want to mention here before we go on to the IMDb portion is that Damien Leone is actually in development with Sam Raimi's Ghost House Pictures to be doing some movie. No idea what it is, but they have an original idea from Leone that he is going to do with them. And that's amazing because I would love to see him do, not that I don't like Terrifier movies, but I would love to see him do something a little different. So that's exciting. And he also has something that he'd love to do. It's an exploitation film from the 80s. It's not a horror film, but it's an action thriller revenge. And it would be a dream come true for him if he can do that. So it looks like Damien Leone is branching out, and that is fucking awesome. I mean, he deserves all the attention and love that he's getting because he makes great indie movies. So I'm so happy for him. I genuinely hope he can just take off and do a whole bunch of other stuff. I'm sure he'll still continue to use David Howard Thornton and, you know, his gaggle of people that he uses. So that's super exciting. Other than that, is there anything that you heard lately or you want to bring up before we move on to the IMDb summary here?
I think we covered it all. Like, I mean, really, all this month I was looking for like some new Christmas horror, and obviously one of my favorite films of the year was it's also streaming on Shudder right now, is When Evil Lurks. So,
yes. Oh my God.
So good.
That's gonna be
a solid horror. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's gonna be in everyone's like top five, if not their top ten, because man, that shit was absolutely wild. Guatemalan film. It's so good. All right, so then let's do the IMDb roundup here. This is Christmas Bloody Christmas. We had both seen this prior to the viewing for this episode. I mean, how many times would you say you've probably seen this since last year?
last year I watched a lot. I did.
Love it.
It was a really good time. Yeah. When I first watched it, I immediately loved it because I really like the dynamic of the characters and what I love about it, the guys hate on my show. And so for me, I love the dialogue. I love the banter back and forth. It's very Kevin Smith to me. And I just love that type of, you know,
I can see that. Yeah.
That type of relationships, like you're really getting, you almost forget what's going to happen at some point.
And
which I like. I love that because, you know, Hostel does that too. A lot of Eli Roth movies, like you forget because you're just kind of sucked into whatever's going on with these people at this moment. Then all of a sudden you're like, oh, fuck, I forget that there something horrible is about to happen. So, you know, I love that. To me, I love that because it just makes you feel safe until you're not. And I think the movie is very Christmassy too.
Very like, Christmassy. Oh yeah.
Super Christmas. So if you want that nostalgic, like, you know, the lighting and everything, the cinematography sort of reminds me of the Black Xmas.
Mm-hmm.
Because like it, like the glowy lights, the very like cheesy Christmassy, the snow falling, like all of it was just, you know, so if you want a good Christmas feeling film, this one I think is probably better than all of the ones that we mentioned.
Yeah, it's a blood-soaked neon wonderland is what I would describe it as, because everything's glowing, everything is bright and colorful, and it just oozes Christmas spirit. So like I said, this is Christmas Bloody Christmas from 2022, released on December 9th of that year. It is not rated. We have moderate sex and nudity, which I'm going to fight that in about 5 seconds, so hold on. Severe violence and gore, severe profanity. Apparently there are 487 fucks in this movie, which I can agree with. There was a lot of fucks. Moderate alcohol, drugs, and smoking, and moderate frightening and intense scenes. So, in the subcategory of the moderate sex and nudity, right? It says a woman gets her ass eaten by her boyfriend. You don't really see anything. She's in underwear. And then, a woman has her hoo-ha eaten by her coworker. Pretty graphic and looks borderline unsimulated. So, how in the hell is that moderate sex and nudity? That would be severe, I would think. I mean, I guess there are no boobs. But like,
yeah, there's really no.
Yeah,
nudity,
but I mean, like, man, there's no way that was simulated. I swear to God, he really just dove in there. and there's a lot of sexual dialogue too as well. But yeah, apparently, yeah, there is no female nudity. Okay, so I guess if there were like boobs or more nudity, then it probably would have been severe for that. But that's right, she was wearing a bra during that entire time. So
yeah, and socks.
And socks, she was like knee-high socks. Oh my God. This is a run.
Stay warm.
It was snowing, so that had to have been freezing. But yeah, socks during sex. That's funny. I'm pretty sure he was like fully clothed besides his shirt. He still had his jeans on and everything. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, and nobody ever did it. I mean, yeah, they did that. But then,
no
like,
one ever, yeah. That's fair. That's fair.
No one ever got it on. So, you know, it could have been way worse than what we saw.
It could have been. You're right. Runtime of 1 hour and 26 minutes. Listed straight horror. Nothing else. Directed by Joe Bagos, I believe his name is, or Bajos, who also directed Bliss and VFW. It was also written by him, and he did. He also wrote Bliss. Composed by Steve Moore, who also composed Gutterballs. The phase, yeah, fucking solid movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah, solid movie. Phase 1 Clinical Trials, short for VHS 2, The Guest, Mayhem, Bliss, VFW, and Suitable Flesh, which was a weird fucking movie. That movie was so bizarre. I still don't.
Oh, yeah. I did not like it. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about that movie. There was, I mean, good for Heather Graham getting it on with like a 20-year-old, like, and she still looks so good.
She's in her 50s.
She
yeah.
looks so
I'm like,
good.
I was like, they're like so far apart in age. So
yeah.
That's what I was thinking. I'm like, oh, good for her.
Good for her. She looks fantastic. Oh my God. And even Barbara Crampton.
She still looks good. Barbara Crampton looks amazing.
This looks amazing.
Yeah.
I'm like, what are you guys, what's going on? So, cinematography by Brian Sowell, who also did the cinematography for Beyond the Gates, which is another movie starring Barbara Crampton. We have edited by Josh Ethier, who also did a whole bunch of shit. He did Digging Up the Morrow, Mayhem, Leatherface, Bliss, VFW, Gretel and Hansel, and Orphan First Kill. So he's been working. Starring Riley Dandy, which is a fun name, as Tori Toombs. She hasn't really done too much, but she did a Netflix movie called That's Amore as Sophia. Then we've got Sam Delic as Robbie Reynolds, who is also in The Marshes, which is a Shudder original, as Will. Jonah Ray as Jay, most notably from Mystery Science Theater 3000 as Jonah Heston. Then we've got Dora Madison as Lana, who was also in Bliss as Desi. And then last but certainly not least, we have Jeff Daniel Phillips as Sheriff Monroe. You might know him from things like The Munsters as Herman. He was also in Halloween 2 as Howard, The Lords of Salem as Whitey, and 31 as Roscoe. Rob Zombie likes to use him a lot, so it was nice to see his face in this movie. I was like, hell yeah. Estimated budget of NA, couldn't find anything because it's an indie movie. Typically, they don't reveal budgets on that on IMDb, but it did gross $250,000 at the box office. Filmed in Placerville and LA, California. You can watch this on Shudder. Movies that came out around the same time, we've got Weird, The Al Yankovic Story, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, The Menu, Bones and All, Strange World, Glass Onion, Violent Night, Puss in Boots, The Last Witch, The Mean One, Scare Package 2, Rad Chan's Revenge, and Me Threegan is what I call it, instead of Megan. So, specific horror moments, what did you have for that?
Well, you know, my favorite moment in the movie, obviously, we talk about it all the time. but, you know, I do like that it's spliced with the murder of the family.
Oh yeah, when the Santa is in the house across the street.
Yeah. When they're the neighbor's house, like obviously Robbie's going down on Tori, like they've been drinking and partying all night, and I'm like, oh my God, it looks like a typical Friday night with me. And I know, especially back in the day, like this felt like, you know, when I was much younger. So I was like,
smoking
doobies,
drinking whiskey.
drinking whiskey, taking shots and not worrying about anything. So obviously my favorite scene is that scene, because I love how, I don't know why I love that scene so much. Obviously, like, I feel like she's such an empowering final girl to me, because From the beginning of the movie, she's never been the damsel in distress. She's trying to get laid, basically. And the whole time Robbie's trying to convince her not to meet up with her Tinder date and just hang out with him. Right. So she's like, all right, well, fuck it. I got you. At least I have, you know, I can still get laid. Right. And, you know, she gets what she wants. And, you know, she asserts at the beginning of the movie that men don't know how to eat women out. And Robbie disagrees. So I'm glad that happened for her. But meanwhile, the scene is cut with the family, like a very wholesome family next door, that's very Christmassy, getting slaughtered by the fucking Santa. Like the father is like literally being like axed to death up the stairs. The mother sees it, fucking gets the mom in the eyeball, and then comes down and kills the little kid. So. Great scene. But as the father's dying, she's climaxing. So I'm like thinking, oh, you know, he's like going down and she's
going up. Yeah, like, she's going up. Yeah.
It's a great juxtaposition there. It was very, you know.
No, that's funny. That's so funny because that's exactly mine too. Because once that, yeah, no, it is. It's hilarious. I have it right here. I said after Santa throws the axe at the dad and starts crawling on the floor, and you have like that wicked guitar track going on in the background, and it's just like, and you have them in slow motion, and you have the family getting mutilated, and it's all great practical effects. I mean, the dad gets his head like curb stomped on the stairs, the wife gets it in the eye. They don't show the kid, but they show him lifting up, and then you see it from across the view of Tori's place. But honestly, it's like such a beautiful scene because you have, yeah, like you said, the juxtaposition of this family having the worst night of their life and her having the best night of her life. You're like, this is a wild way to do this. And then the score in the background just really ties it all together. And it's all neon and just everything is glowing. It's honestly a very cinematic moment. And yeah, just the fact that the Santa just blew through that entire family. I was like, God damn, that was horrifying. Three kills and about 5 minutes. So that was my horror moment as well. Did you have a favorite, was there a favorite kill that you enjoyed the most?
I really enjoyed it when, which is so mean, when they're all trying to get out of the house and he just grabs one of them and grabs the sister and basically like fucks her up. Yeah, just turns her head around and kills her. And while her fucking worthless husband is doing nothing to save her.
Nothing. And then he gets it too off screen. Yeah, that was a good one. My favorite kill is actually the first kill, and it's when Roy and Lana are like, he's like eating her ass, and Santa just comes up behind him and literally just splits him in two, and his body like folds to the sides. I was like, all right, that's how we're starting the first kill off. That's setting the tone for the rest of the kills. It's like, that was and I love the POV shots that they do too, because it's like him with the axe walking through and lifting it up, and then just boom. So the way they shot this movie was very, very good for an indie movie. I love the killer POV, and it makes it easier for him to not, you know, because, you know, obviously he's supposed to be an animatronic, and when you see him walking, you know, it's a person. But when they do the killer POV shots, it's a good way to hide that so you don't have to do it as much. So I thought that worked very well. I feel like our favorite characters are probably going to be the same person. Was it Tori for you?
Yeah, Tori was my, well, I liked Robbie too.
I love them both together. The camaraderie, together. Yeah. Oh my God. They had conversations that were just so natural. You're right. You totally forgot that something bad was coming their way. You're like, oh, this is great. Like the camaraderie between them was amazing. They're just like shitting on each other. And they're like talking about some of their favorite movies and like sequels and stuff like that. I think that the conversation literally felt like a conversation I would have with like you guys. I swear, like on Slashers, yeah. It's just such a natural conversation. It didn't feel forced. It didn't feel awkward at any moment. It just felt so genuine, which is hard to do, you know, especially for like indie movies. Cause usually that's kind of one of the things that might not be that great is the dialogue or the performances, but they were just like, I felt like they have to be best friends in real life or something like that. They have to be some sort of friends because it was just so natural. Let's see.
Yeah, they have great chemistry together. Yeah. And yeah, and then I loved that. And then, you know, again, this is what the guys hated about it. Like Doug and Mikey were saying, oh, a lot of it was ad-libbed, just didn't work for me. But if you're not into the conversation, you don't care, then I can see where that would fall flat with some people.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I can honestly tell that a lot of it was ad-libbed because it's just, like I said, it just felt like it was, they were just like, all right, I guarantee they were probably actually drinking too and having fun. Like they had to have been drinking. They drank a lot in that. They're like, oh, they go to the bar and then they like go to somewhere else and they go back to her house. They're just fucking pounding whiskey and smoking doobies. It's a lot of fun. I didn't really necessarily have a least favorite character. I mean, the only person I was not a fan of was the dickhead cop Smith that handcuffed Tori and was just like, yeah, shut up. Like, hey, dude, something's going on. Maybe like do your job and take it a little bit more seriously. I don't know if you had one or not.
Oh, the sister's husband. He was a fucking piece of shit. Worthless. And then when she's talking about him, she's like, yeah, they're passed out cold. Remember, they're going to the house. And she's like, She's like, and my sister's husband doesn't even drink. I go, fuck him. Whatever.
Fuck you.
Sorry, Jake, but yeah. I mean, I get it. Like, not everybody needs to drink, but it's like, I hate people who are like, oh, I don't drink. Like, you know, you have to make it all about you, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, you don't have to tell people you don't drink. Just don't drink.
Yeah, so just don't do it if that's something you don't want to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
So my favorite line is Robbie talking about eating a girl out. He's like, I beg to differ. In fact, I would argue that there are maybe one or two people in the general vicinity who can eat it with the ferocity of a fucking Tyrannosaurus Rex. And I was like, that's a great line. But honestly, 90% of the shit they said to each other was hilarious. It was so hard to pick like a favorite thing that they said. But in regards to my favorite scene, might as well use the thing where he's like, no, I can do it like a T-Rex. I was like, all right. I don't know if that's good or bad, but I mean, hey, he's very passionate about this. So,
well, I, from what I saw, he did a great job. So I would concur with him. But I just thought he was so cute. I loved that whole dynamic with them.
They're great.
But yeah, with the favorite line, I love it when she's sitting there and she's in the police station later, covered in blood, just covered in blood. And she's like, and she's shaking. That is such a good performance, by the way. That performance right there, when she's sitting there in that chair and she's freaking out, talking to them and nobody's listening. And then she's just getting more and more agitated. Such a good performance. Like, I really would love to see more of her, honestly.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Lance was even saying, he had mentioned to me, so I'll just give Lance a shout out, bless his heart, that she would actually do really well, I guess, in the next Scream. Like, if we're going to replace and bring a new person as another final girl, like, why not bring someone like her into the mix, right? Because the only thing I liked about the last one was having what's her name in the beginning, and then they killed her off.
Oh, Samara Weaving. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I love her too. And she's great, you know, and Ready or Not. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, why can't we have more of these, like, lesser known final girls being a bigger franchise as a bigger character? Because I really feel like, unless we put Riley Danny in something that everyone's going to see, she may fall to the wayside, because, you know, horror is very specific, right? Mm-hmm. It's very genre specific. And unless, like, you're in something like Scream or a fucking Blumhouse movie, like, you know, the people are going to, you know, fall to the wayside. So, but yeah, when she says, after everything I saw, she's like, I am sober. After everything I saw, I am sober. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, I've been in those situations too before, but like, something terrible has happened and I'm like, my fucking buzz is gone.
It is gone forever. And it's so funny because the cops too are like, I can smell the weed and whiskey on you. And she's like, what does that have to do with anything? Like, that doesn't fucking matter. Oh my God, I smoked some pot. Like, that's not a crime. He's like, well, it is illegal. It's like, oh my God, shut up, Smith. Shut up, you buzzkill. And actually, let's talk about that scene, because that's actually a great scene, because that's the moment when Santa has blown through. Oh my God, she kills Liddy. She kills Liddy's husband, that worthless piece of shit. Kills all three of the family members next door. He kills Robbie. So it's like just her at that moment. And she gets back to the police station and they hear the ambulance, which I love this scene. The ambulance comes around the corner and she's like, that's him. That's the guy. Like, oh, the murderous Santa Claus. And she's like, yeah. And then he doesn't stop and blows through that car. Huge explosion. The cops go out there and Sheriff Monroe gets thrown over the ambulance into the fire of the car. And then the other cop, Smith, he gets his head blown off. So now it's literally just Tori against this killer Santa. And this fucking thing will not die. It's gotten shot by a shotgun a few times. Tori ran it over twice. She gets into the ambulance to get away, and Santa gets in there, and then she crashes on purpose. He goes flying through the front windshield. She sets a car on fire, which explodes. That doesn't kill him. So then she finally goes into the record store that she owns. And what does she do? She stabs it with a knife. That doesn't work. She starts the sprinklers on by starting a fire. That doesn't work. And then she finally hooks him up to the electrocution and he explodes. And I'm just like, this is probably one of my favorite, like, deranged killing things that is on screen, because that shit every time you're like, all right, it's over. Finally, she got him. He came back like four separate times. And I fucking love that so many times. And it's like he's missing an arm and you can see all the, you know, all the robotics underneath him. And he's like struggling and crawling. It's like that motherfucker was determined to kill Tori. And she was not having that shit. Definitely an underrated final girl, I do have to say. Very underrated.
It was so like RoboCop meets Terminator meets Silent Night, Deadly Night. Like there was just so many things in there that obviously I don't think copies like more, but more so pays homage to those, you know, great films. And she's just fucking amazing. Oh, when she gets her fingers chopped off. Oh my God. I'm screaming every time. And, you know, and that's the thing, like, for as crazy as this film is, and there's not a lot of time for her to actually feel like she sees her sister get murdered. Oh my God. But Robbie makes her get up and go.
Yeah.
Then Robbie's killed in front of her and there's nothing she can do. Right. Then the cop is killed. There's nothing she can do. Then the other cops, then she finally gets away, gets into her record store. Not her record store is destroyed. Like literally everything is taken from her. Then her fingers.
And then her fingers.
I go, Jesus Christ. Like, can we like fuck her over anyway? Oh, and her best friends are fucking murdered. Like everything is literally taken from her.
Yeah.
And all, you know, and at that point I'm like just shocked that she just, I would have been like, whatever, I'm done. I can't.
Yeah. You don't realize how, like, you know, it's like, you don't really realize it until you point that out. But yeah, every single thing was taken from her that was near and dear to her heart. And the ending shot of her just crying in the street was so impactful. I was like, I mean, yeah, what else are you going to do at this point besides bawl your eyes out because of everything you just went through for some defective Santa that just decided to go fucking rogue and murder the shit out of everyone and decided to target her specifically. I thought that was kind of interesting because, like, it's, you know, in the beginning it kills Roy and Lana, and then it sees Robbie and Tori walking away, and it's like, all right, this is my mission. I'm gonna get both of them. He can't get Tori, so he's just so persistent with trying to kill her for no reason at all, just besides the fact that it's a defective Santa. Because
they did like a military raid or something.
Yeah, so I actually wrote this down because I thought it was hilarious. So the opening thing is like a whole bunch of commercials. I love the commercial where the kids get whiskey for Christmas. That fucking absolutely that sent me. I was like, yeah, they're like, where's my bottle of whiskey? And it's like Hennigan's, whatever, for the whole family. I'm like,
for the whole family.
Yeah, totally. And then it cuts to, so it's, this is the caption that it says. It says, the U.S. Defense Department has spent over $1 trillion on the most cutting-edge robot technology deployed overseas for a swift victory against America's deadliest enemies. And now Sawell Robotic Products is here to make that technology fun for the entire family. Introducing RoboSanta, RoboSanta Plus, for the upcoming holiday season, with a vocabulary of over 90,000 words, a full range of motion, and built with a military-grade construction, RoboSanta Claus fully replaces your local degenerate Santa, keeping you and your children safe. Questions? Because this was a $1 trillion operation that you're now putting into the home. How much does this fucking Santa cost? I mean, what the hell? That's got to be like a $10,000 Santa.
I mean, it would just be cheaper to have the perfect guy in the costume at this point than to, you know, to have it in the house. And I thought it was a little hokey that he still doesn't look like a robot or move like one either.
Nope.
Because it's just a guy in a suit.
Yeah.
After all. But I don't know. I don't know. Like, I think, like, that's what I said is very RoboCop because it starts off with the commercials, right? And then, you know, obviously. And then, like, a little Terminator-y and stuff like that. So I don't know. And then I was reading somewhere that this was actually going to be a sequel for Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking, well, maybe they decided to throw in the whole robot thing at some point to, like, make it a little different.
Yeah, maybe.
Right? I mean, because obviously the ending is very, you know, very Terminator. But, like, if you were just taking it out and it was just like a Santa gone crazy type thing, like, you could still have done that.
Yeah.
With the entirety of the movie until the very end, till you see the all the shit underneath, right?
So yeah, maybe that's what they did. Maybe they were gonna do that, but then they got to the part where it was like, all right, well, he's human, so getting run over by a car would probably kill him instantly. How can we keep him alive doing crazy things? So I'm sure that they got to a certain point in the story and they're like, we got to make him a fucking robot. There's no other way to keep this man alive or to keep this thing alive, because he's got all these metal plates. And when he gets ripped open at the end, you can see he's got like metal ribs and he's got all these just electronic components. Things a badass. I really think it's awesome. And of course it's like military grade. So that's why it's able to survive so long, because it's not just this cheap plastic, you know, thing. But yeah, you're right, I loved how it didn't, the only thing they did to make it sound like a robot was to add like the mechanical, like I was like all right, at least they added that in there, but you can clearly tell it's just a dude in a Santa Claus outfit. So
yeah, for
oh
sure.
Goodness,
sorry.
Oh, you're fine. What's up, Stella?
She's such a bitch. Anytime if I don't put the green screen up, then I know she's gonna be this way. But she was sleeping for the majority of the time, so
now she's like, fuck you, I want to play, throw that thing. I wanted to say too, so she has some, Tori has some pretty interesting takes on some horror movies. I did agree with two though. I agreed with two. So she says Pet Sematary 2 is better than the original. Honestly, I agree. I like Pet Sematary 2 more than the original. And then Child's Play 2, I agree as well, better than the original. Everything else, though, I was like, Alien Covenant is your favorite? I mean, it's not like it's a bad movie, but that was interesting. She had a lot of hot takes, and I appreciate someone with hot takes. So I can agree. Is there anything that you agreed with that she said for sequels?
Well, I do love Child's Play 2, but there was one that she said, now I can't even remember it. I wish I had a list. I should have wrote them all down when I was watching it. Because I'm like, this would actually be an argument that all of us would be having, right? Sitting around together.
Let's see. It was Pet Sematary, Child's Play, Alien. Oh, yeah, there was one more. There was one more,
I remember. And I was like, no. I remember shaking my head thinking, absolutely not. But no. I don't even remember now. Oh, my God, that's terrible. Gosh, where would we even find that? Is that a Googleable thing?
I'm gonna find it. I'm just gonna scroll through the movie and then I'll just chop all this up. So it was Pet Sematary 2, and then it was Freddy's Dead for Elm Street.
Oh, Freddy's Dead. Yeah. That's what I was like, bitch.
No.
I love you, but Freddy's Dead is the worst fucking sequel. And nobody dies. One person dies in that movie. Like, what?
And then she said Hell on Earth for Hellraiser, which Hell on Earth is pretty good. Then Child's Play 2, then Alien Covenant. But yeah, when she said Freddy's Dead, I was like, hell no, lady. It's Dream Warriors or nothing.
I mean, honestly, and I would argue for part 4 too, because I love
Dream Master,
Dream Master as well. So
yeah,
but they're the same characters initially, anyways, at the beginning of 4. So
exactly.
But you know, and that's the thing. I love that they put that in there, because obviously this is a film for horror fans and music fans alike. And if you catch all the little references, then you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this earlier, because I finally made Lance watch it. And I know that because he's obviously a musician, and so he knows all of these obscure punk, all this fucking music that they were talking about, right? And so, you know, obviously that's something that someone like him would appreciate, because he knows exactly what they're talking about, right? And so, because there was snippets here where she was talking about, but I mean, when she was talking, when they were mentioning Metallica, and obviously I know who Lemmy is, I know who all these other bands are.
The Ramones.
Yeah. But there's other things that they were talking about. I'm like,
who?
I have to go back and you know, Google these people or whatever. But so I think that if that's like your type of scene, you know, then you would probably appreciate this movie a lot. Like, if you're always at the record store and you're always like, you know, around this, Doug hates this movie for that reason. He calls them crust punks. He thinks they're all dirty. He thinks everybody smells like cigarettes and shame and all of this. And I'm like, look at you just judging people, Douglas. My goodness. So, my goodness. And Mikey didn't like it either. So Mikey's no fun.
Yeah, well,
oops.
We love it. We love it. So there's that, and I know we're like the only people that, you know, I know some people that enjoyed it, but I loved it on this watch, and I'm very excited to show Gabby because she hasn't even seen it yet. So I'm gonna show her at some point. Was there anything else you wanted to highlight or talk about before we wrap up here? We're coming up on the hour.
No, I am good. I know you wanted to mention some of the reviews. Actually, before we go, I immediately Googled something, and then I like, as soon as I Googled it, the first thing on there was a 4 out of 10, and the it was labeled "Stop Talking."
Oh, okay, perfect. All right, well then let's get to that here. Taglines. There's only one, and it was "You better not cry," which I love. That's perfect. Nothing for trivia that I could find. The only thing I found was what you already said, which is perfect, which was the story was initially conceived for a Silent Night, Deadly Night remake. No goofs, rated 5.1 out of 10 on IMDb, 2.7 out of 5 on Letterboxd, has a 77% on the tomato meter, and is certified fresh. I didn't even know that. That's fucking amazing. And then a 43% audience score, but hey, the certified fresh is what I'm focusing on. I gave this 4 out of 5. What would you rate this?
I would give it like a 4 out of 5. Actually, I think I've given it a 5 out of 5.
Oh shit. Okay. Well then in that case, since we both rated it above a 4, that is a Frightmare certified slap. There we go. So similar movies, according to Letterboxd, we have Silent Night 2012, All Through the House, Chopping Mall, The Banana Splits Movie, and Thanksgiving. Similar movies, according to IMDb, we have A Christmas Story, Christmas Horror Story, A Wounded Fawn, Sick, Silent Night 2012, and Violent Night. So what do you just have, the one funny review that you found?
Yeah, and like, and that's the thing, like, I like, who cares? If you are not enjoying this part of the movie, it's not like you can't enjoy the rest of it. It's
right.
Not, you know, it's only like 20 minutes and then it hits the ground running. So it's like, come on.
What was it? 4 out. You said it was a 4 out of 10. You said it said stop.
Yeah.
Stop.
And
was it just stop talking?
Stop talking. I really did go into this film wanting to love it. However, I found it quite tedious. Too much dialogue. I was at the point when I was thinking, stop talking. Could I keep going on in the last instance? I know it's important to lay down the foundation, but at what point do you just get on with business? But they do.
It's only 25, 30 minutes of talking. If that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's cut too. Cause like once they leave the bar, that's when they're cutting back and forth to murdering the friends.
Yep.
Then you see the Santa murdering the neighbors, you know, all these things. And so I don't like, you know, and then I felt really like I was really upset when Robbie died. Like I was hoping that at least he'd get knocked out or like knocked into the woods or something.
Yeah.
And then he comes back later. Like, I think that if that happened, it would make me so much happier, honestly, because he doesn't have to save the day necessarily, but if he just came back and then like,
something.
Oh, at least she has. Yeah.
Really shows, yeah, but he got axed in the face. Oh my god, right against the truck. All right, I've got 4 or 5 here, so I'll start with, we'll do the good ones, and I think I only have one bad one. So I have 3.5 stars from George Carmi. Says, this was fucking gnarly and I want everyone to watch it. A retro neon infused, unapologetically savage horror holiday joyride. Horny, funny, nonstop thrills, and some delightful banter. Need Riley Dandy cast in more things ASAP. And that's kind of what you said. Like, we need her in more stuff. Mm-hmm. 3 stars from Justin La Liberty. Come for the super gory shot on 16mm Christmas riff on the Terminator and stay for the bountiful surprise of Vinegar Syndrome references. Yes. 3.5 stars, probably my favorite one. And it says, could you imagine the lawsuit I would have if this happened in real life and I'd survive? I'd be drowning in money. And yes, you would be with that $1 trillion fucking government fund. And then 3 stars. I agree with the punk girl that Pet Sematary 2 is better than the first one. Agreed. And last but not least, we have 1.5 stars. Literally took Santa killing to the rhythm of someone's orgasm for this to get going. White people have dirty mouths and apartments.
Oh my god. I know. That must have been Doug's review.
Fucking Doug.
I did find another one though before we go.
Oh yeah, yeah, go for it, go for it.
And all it is, it's just the title, 1 out of 10. It says, stupid characters, an insufferable protagonist, and F-bombs every 2 seconds do not make a good do not a good movie make. And I'm thinking to myself, who the fuck are you, Knightley son? Okay.
Who doesn't swear every other word? What the fuck is this?
Like, oh my God. Like, oh, you go back to fucking church then, motherfucker. Like, who the fuck are you? And you clearly hate women because it's an insufferable protagonist.
Why oh, yeah. God forbid and, we yeah have a strong female lead.
Yeah, good God grief. Forbid.
Jesus. All right, Aid, where can everyone hear the sultry sound of your voice on your podcast, Slashers?
Oh, you can hear my nasally voice over on Slashers Podcast. Follow us on Instagrams at Slashers Pod or Mutant Goons from Beyond. You can listen to us wherever fine podcasts are sold, as Mikey would say. We do have a link tree, so if you hit the link tree, you can listen to us on any platform.
Boom.
And what? And YouTube. Don't forget the YouTube.
Oh, and YouTube, yeah. Yes. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Slasher app at Frightmares Podcast. Email us stayspooky@outlook.com. You can follow me personally on Letterboxd at Dr. Proctor. A does not use Letterboxd, and that's okay. It's not for her. next week, me, my buddy Michael, and my buddy Nick, who has been on the show one time last year where we reviewed Misery, we are going to be doing a Finnish horror, a Santa Claus movie? Finnish? Swedish? I don't know. Norway, one of those countries over there. I'm not sure the I'm not sure where the fuck it's from, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So until then, stay tuned and stay spooky.